What's up?
Not much. What's up with you?
All right, cool.
Oh, there's a guy standing here with us.
Oh, okay. Who's dressed better than we are.
That's right. Place 2 City Councilman Steve Aldridge.
That's it. Steve, how you doing?
Great. Good morning.
Welcome back. Been a while since you've been here.
It has.
And a lot of stuff's gone on. First, I know you want to talk about Belgium, so let's do that first.
Great.
Everybody knows that we had a large party who went to Belgium. But I'd like to talk about it simply from the standpoint of what this can mean for Bryan College Station, the Brazos Valley, from a business standpoint.
Well, the economic development, one of the things you become aware of when you go there is the economic development opportunities are really ceiling unlimited. We now in our community have an international presence like we have, I don't really think, ever had before. But with the Kalon agreement yesterday and with GSK and the vaccine, there are some really, really big driving things for global economic development going on here in our community.
Well, you know, that's the thing that's nice is that we're able to do some things technologically, but I have to think looking 10 years forward, one of the other areas that's going to continue to grow geometrically is going to be healthcare and being able to bring new products to market.
And we are an aging population. I think if you look at the demographics of Brazos County, you're seeing that our age is staying. Even though we have a very rapidly growing young community in Texas A&M, the permanent community that's coming here, we're not young people.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and again, but kudos to your council and to Brian's council and the county commissioners because the ILA that was put together, pretty amazing template that I'm sure will be used in other places to get over those rough spots that governmental entities have when they bump up against each other.
Well, I think it's a great tribute to the what can happen when you cooperate with each other and when you share your common values and goals and work together to reach those. I think that, and there are some things that are going on due to the research at Texas A&M University that are very, very innovative. They're way out in front of where a lot of things are on a global standard, so that's what's really piqued the interest here is people saying, gosh, they're doing this a new and very dynamic way.
Yeah. Steve Aldridge joining us this morning. So it's been about a year almost since you've been here. Obviously, there have been a lot of things that have happened. What are some high water marks as far as you're concerned personally?
I think getting the transition with new city manager Kelly Templin in, letting him get the opportunity to do what he needed to do to understand where we were, look at, define, and establish goals. I think the budget situation, going through it and taking a look at it, unfortunately, looking proactively, we did need to have a raise in the income, in the tax rate on ad valorem properties. But I think that you can justify all of the uses of those funds and why they were needed because we're growing faster than I think anybody anticipated. If you take a look at 2 years, 6% plus back-to-back College Station ISD. When I was on College Station School Board, 3% was your kind of rule of thumb, maybe 3.5. Katrina was one example of where we had a bump in there, but 2 years of 6% back-to-back tells you that we're growing faster than we really are anticipating.
Well, one of the things is as College Station reaches its 75th anniversary now, as we see where schools are being built, obviously that is going to be the point as where the population is growing. So we're actually starting to get an older College Station. There's the old part of College Station, if you want to call it. So how do you see the challenges different as we have the new College Station basically to the south and the east and the old College Station, which is more the center city right now?
There's a real interesting dynamic there because the older College Station direct proximity to Texas A&M University is going through kind of an urban renewal of sorts, too. So you've got some pressures that are taking place there between single-family residents and student population that's there. But students want to be close to the university. And so we've got to work through some of the issues that are there, and I think we will. I certainly volunteered to do that, and I think that we can still do more. But the new College Station that's going on, one of the issues that comes up is you really want to make sure from College Station ISD, we wanted to be sure that we had comparable schools, comparable facilities, comparable classroom populations all the way across the district. And I think that they're still holding true to that motive. Yes, we are. If you take a look at the rehabilitation of Munson that's going to need to take place, the aging infrastructure that's there, that's going to be an example of how we need to make sure we don't let some of those things happen where where we are playing catch-up ball in one area of the city while all things are being developed shiny and new in other parts.
Steve Aldridge joining us this morning. Okay, let's go back to a couple of things that you said. First of all, the rest of council did not share your belief that they needed to continue to look at the problems of having high-density housing or students in residential neighborhoods. What do you think you can bring differently to the table that hasn't been tried and basically failed in the past?
Well, we've had this discussion going on for years and years, and it kind of comes and goes as far as what's there. Code enforcement is one element that the city can do, but I think that I had advocated for a committee or a subcommittee that advises council and works with staff that talks about what are the issues that come up where we get the people who have interest in this, rental property owners, single-family residents, students, and the city from a code enforcement perspective and code modification feedback loop to do that. And the council's desire was to go ahead and say, hey, let's just wait and see if our code enforcement part of this doesn't take care of it. I thought we needed to do more, but the council's will was to wait and see, and I'm good with that.
One of the things that council did do was last night, there's a development now that's going to go in that will, in essence, allow 6 bedrooms in a structure. Now, the developer has said, yeah, but you know, the good thing is we've got one parking place for every bedroom. And that's fine, but, you know, that means that there could be 6 people there who have friends, and those friends are going to want to have places to park, and that exacerbates a problem that we're familiar with. Why, and you voted for it, why did you, as one member of council, think this was an okay development?
Well, if you take a look at the questions that I particularly asked, they were about traffic and about what was going to take place there in that area. I think that a planned development district applies to a piece of property like this because it allows for what would normally be a standard difficult to kind of track with the floodplain area in there, the natural and preserved areas.
Excuse me, tell people where it is so they'll understand geographically.
It is at the, it's if you go across the railroad tracks from Welburn, right there where the bypass where 28, overpass where 2818 comes, it's in that corner there.
Okay, all right.
And mostly a student development area already, multifamily housing, but they wanted to have a particular development plan there that didn't fit what normally would be our zoning plan. And, you know, that is away from a pressure area where you have single-family residents in single-family homes along with student rental type of property. So it seemed to fit there better. And, you know, as the development plan comes along and we see more about what they intend to do there, then we'll know what we need to do.
Well, I mean, I saw a comment, it makes no sense. It doesn't have any, it's apples and oranges, saying, well, you know, maybe this will relieve pressure in the traditional neighborhoods because there'll be this student-centric area right here. Well, that hadn't happened in the past. Just because you're going to have 6 bedrooms doesn't make any difference. But I want to ask, when you do something like this, now just through the process, as you do something like this where you're going to have a structure where you'll have 6 bedrooms in that building, do you talk to police and fire about that and the street parking problems that could happen in responding to emergencies?
Yes, and those will be my next questions when we look at the site development plan as far as making sure how that happens. In planned development districts that you see like Castlegate, that's where those fire and police concerns come into play, and we've had discussions there. So I think we'll do a good job between planning and development services and fire and police to make sure that we're doing things right, because there was a block length modification in there. So if you allow for some of the amenities that people who are developing are looking for when they develop in areas like this, you have to make sure that we have everything safe, have everything affordable, have everything available to people. Sanitation is another issue. So I think this was a good use of a planned development district in a developed of a totally undeveloped tract.
City Council Member Steve Aldridge with us this morning. Fracking is becoming more of a concern, not just in Denton. The state of New York has, in fact, put a ban on fracking. This is something that College Station looked at. You've put together an ordinance. I want to play your comments. They're edited, but I want to play your comments that you made on October the 9th about the drilling and the guidelines that you had in place, have in place in College Station.
There is no basis for all of the requirements of our drilling permit. It's been proven to be a safe and effective economic development for a region, and I think it would be inappropriate for us as a council to not allow or not grant this permit because we have no basis upon which to do it, since they have met all the requirements of our ordinance.
Now, I want to give you an opportunity, if you want to amend that based on new information. Do you still feel comfortable with the fracking process?
I do. I think that most of the problems from my research come from not monitoring air quality, and most of the problems as far as the seismic types of things are from injection wells. You know, you can look at whichever side of the coin that you want to, and you have to look at both sides. The people who have these economic assets, they have to have the opportunity to be able to develop them. You can't really take that away from them, obviously, with the lawsuits that are going on in Denton. You see that, and what the play is back and forth there. But I think that we can come to a reasonable solution that provides for safety and benefit. And those comments, you have to understand that you just replayed for me there, was under our current ordinance. And November of last year, right after I got elected, one of the first things that I said, because I saw what was coming and what was going on in Burleson County particularly, and that the Eagle Ford was going to come up here, and it was going to be a play that was going to, there was going to be some development needs. And it's taken us a long time to get to that ordinance and modifying that, but now at least we have a updated ordinance, or we're considering an updated ordinance, to where we will address some of the issues, because this is a 1990s ordinance that we had beforehand, so we needed to get this up to speed, and I'm glad that we're having the discussions about it at this time.
Your real job, so folks will know, is you're a financial advisor. You're a numbers guy. So the price of oil, around $55 right now. When we're talking before, it was 100 6 months ago.
45% decline.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, and again, given that there's an end date to some of these leases, as one member of council, do you believe that there would be a more fortuitous time to take this stuff out of the ground and bring it to market rather than right now?
Well, I think that that's not up to the council or any government entity. I think that's up to the free market to decide and determine which prospects they have, and they take risk capital. Those people who negotiated those leases, they understand the economic risks, the benefits, the dynamics of what's going on, and that's part of the area that they go in. I grew up in Midland, Texas, and it goes up and it goes down.
That's ground zero for this, right? What we're talking about.
It is an oscillating universe,
yeah.
According to oil prices.
Let's shift gears. The two cities have basically taken different directions as far as their ideas on funding the CVB. That's the Convention and Visitors Bureau. College Station has decided to pull back some. Bryan's throwing more money in the pot. I know that you have been a representative on that board, and so you are closely within the decision-making process of the Convention Visitors Bureau. As one member of council, I'd like to get your thoughts on the idea of the funding shift that took place in your city.
Well, I think it was about the effectiveness of advertising, because if you take a look in the budget discussions that we had, if you listen back to those, what we talked about was we felt like the promotions of College Station specifically with hotel occupancy tax money on reinvestment, that we wanted to give Jay, his group, that those people in our public information office, the opportunity to do some marketing with those things too. We'd cut nothing from their operating budget, and I think that we wanted them to go ahead and continue to function, but that was the real change in funding right there. It wasn't anything more major or dynamic than that.
Okay, beyond the advertising, and again, as you were the council representative, you were a representative before you were on council on the CVB board.
But then when I got elected, I couldn't be.
Right, exactly. But you have sat at that table. So now, as you stand and look at this, kind of give us an analysis. Where are the areas that you think need the most focus at the Convention and Visitors Bureau as far as going forward?
Well, one of the things, Texas Aggies Go to War exhibit, we're working with the Arts Council, which I am currently council representative, and the CVB in order to see if we can create a combined destination location for new facilities for them, for what they want their future to be, and partnering with them 2 years when this exhibit comes back from Bastogne. So I would like to see that type of presence there, where we have a focus of tourism activity and attractions, as well as where we can have people there. I would like to see it's interesting, the CVB, I would like to see it more engaged with its board of directors and their board of directors more engaged in the program of work. And I really, I would take the chamber's model from volunteerism. When you take a look at how effective the chamber is with their budget dollars, with the amount of volunteer people, the, how engaged our community is with the Chamber of Commerce, it's a very functional model for doing that. And I would like to see that take place. That was identified in the strategic plan, and I think that that is a way to really leverage those dollars that go into the operations of the CVB into a community sense of tourism culture.
As we moved on to 2015, what's on the Steve Aldridge checklist of things you'd like to see done?
Well, the bond committee last night, we put that together, and I think that's critical to our future as far as growth. I think one of my major things that I'd like to accelerate anything that we have towards the traffic management to where we can get real time. I think that's getting to be a pressure point where we are here, and particularly anything where we have revenues that have come into the city from settlement of a lawsuit or from sale of property, or obviously the Chimney Hill property that we closed on has to stay in HOT reinvestment. So I look forward to redeploying that money that's been pretty much stagnant, not developing a significant return on that community property that's there. So those are kind of the things. But I would say traffic is going to a real-time traffic management system. Capacity is currently not the issue. And additional capacity is very expensive relative to what we take for technology for management. So management's kind of the limiting factor. We're on track to get that done, but the sooner we can get that done, I think the better we will all breathe after the holidays and everybody comes back.
Well, let me bring some up finally, I guess, that we haven't had you in here really since the word natatorium was used very much. So as one member of council, what's your thought on, should there be a natatorium? If so, what would be the optimum way to have that, first of all, built and then operated and maintained?
Well, it's not about me. It's not about what my thoughts are nearly as much as it is about what the community wants. And last night, if you listen to the council meeting, council member Mooney and I were both oriented towards saying in parks, you know, College Station ISD has expressed a need. We've had an opportunity to partner with the city on an operations and maintenance budget for what they had planned on potentially putting on their bond issue. It's been a long time since we have developed an aquatic facility in the city of College Station. So hopefully that will come out of the parks segment of the capital improvements plan in the bond committee. And if that comes up and it's there, I think we need to float that, even if it, whatever its merits are, have that community discussion about, do we want this, and is it an attractive thing, and do we need to have it? If you think about this in terms of our economic development in the future, a natatorium that would be a very functional place for tourism types of events, I personally think, we're getting on my thoughts here now, I personally think that it could be an attractive element of our community from a tourism perspective. It also would be an amenity that I think that some people that, when we start thinking about the people who are going to be working in the bio corridor, and as we develop our own economic development plan with Spring Creek, what's there, I think these types of amenities, if you go take a look at the Woodlands, not saying that we are the Woodlands, which we certainly aren't, but if you take a look at that, that's a real highlight of their community that is very attractive to people that you want to recruit to come here that are the right people.
Sure. Well, yeah, no, we're not the Woodlands for a whole lot of different areas.
And I'm glad. I like College Station. I'm happy to be here. I haven't left. I love this community.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, just tell everybody Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And just have a great holiday. Happy holidays for wherever you're going to go. Safe travels. And we've got so much to be thankful for in this community. And I hope that everybody takes a little bit of time from the pace to just say thank you and enjoy each other's company for a little period of time.
There you go. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Steve Aldridge from the College Station Council. Anything else, Mr. Sokol?
Citizen University, Citizen Police Academy, Citizen Fire Academy, registration for all those available right now. Visit us at cstx.gov.
Offices next week are
closed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Oh, and you're not showing up on Monday or Tuesday.
Are you kidding? Absolutely not.
All right, thanks. Jay Sokol here from the City of College Station.